watch, Jesus said, you must be ready. The Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. If he comes in the second watch or in the third. You know, there's a t-shirt I saw once, or maybe it was a poster if I get it right. Beware those who think they will be saved at the 11th hour shall pass away at 10:45. None of us really knows when our time is, right? And, you know, many of you know I serve as a chaplain when I can, squeezed in here and there. And one of the things I do occasionally is I'm on call. That means from about 7 o'clock at night until 7 o'clock the next morning, I have to have the ringer on my phone. My wife generally prefers if I sleep in another room after this has gone off 3 and 4 times in the middle of the night. But at 1 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, at 5 a.m., whatever it is, when that phone rings, I'm expected to get up and go to the hospital and be with that family, with our loved one who is near death or who has passed away. And that being ready at the second and third watch of the night, it can be a challenge, right? If we're not used to that, it's pretty easy to forget, oh, I forgot to turn my ringer on one time and felt awful about that. And had them, thankfully, there's this thing now on our phones where if you call it 2 times in 5 minutes, it rings through. So, whew, didn't lose my job over that one. But imagine Jesus saying, I called. I came. You weren't there. You didn't answer. You didn't respond. Imagine, more so than just the disappointment we would feel, whew, can't believe I missed that. You know, I feel so sorry. Imagine the disappointment we would feel, which Jesus describes in this way. There will be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. And that's an image that just comes to my mind for us here at the end of the year when we think back to times when I think Jesus may very well have knocked on the doors of our hearts and may be knocking still, seeking us to a closer, trusting relationship with him. And if we are to miss that, if we or anyone is to miss that, we reach the end of their life and we've not responded to that call. It says that the people then outside of the kingdom of light, you know, you can think of any way to describe that place that isn't heaven, but it's described with those three terms, weeping, wailing, gnashing of teeth. You know what I think the gnashing of teeth symbolizes? It might make sense if I visualize this way for him. Oh, I can't believe I missed it. Oh, how did I forget? How did I let him, all those chances? How did I let all that grace? How did I let all of his word go by? And I knew better. That's the gnashing of teeth. That's the regret that he wants us to avoid experiencing. Maybe this moment here on this night, this quiet end to the year, can be that heart set, that reminder for us. You know, every once in a while, whether it's our phones or our computers, they kind of go sideways, right? And what do they always tell you to do to get it working again? Power it off and turn it back on. The technical term, I'm not the smartest computer person, but I checked in with my computer science college-age son, and he told me the term for that is to reboot. We have a chance to reboot, to start afresh. We have a God who says his mercies are new to us every single morning, a chance to reboot every day. And that's why I think in the Old Testament reading, he invites us in returning and rest, you are saved. In returning to the Lord and to his comfort. In returning to him as the foundation of our lives, in returning to the God who says, come to me, all you who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. In returning and in rest, I don't know about you, but before company shows up at my house, and we've done our fair bit of entertaining, before a company shows up, it's usually the atmosphere is not rest. It's usually, where's the green slow cooker? Where are those special forks, the ones that have the little Christmas trees on the bottom? Do you know where we put the smoky links and the toothpicks to put it? It's just, you know, can you get the picture of what that hurry and that scurry? And Jesus says, you're not going to find me. You're not going to find my peace by a bunch of hurrying and scurrying. In returning and in rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Now, when it goes on in that Old Testament reading, it talks about fleeing on horses, and so you can perhaps picture the whatever the technology of our day is. Oh, I'll rely on my computer, or I'll you know get a great security system for my home or my car, whatever it is. And God is saying your greatest security, your security for all eternity, is found in me, found in the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Found in the one who, as Romans tells us, that there is nothing, neither powers nor height nor depth, nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from his love. It's that strength, it's that love that can quiet us. It's that, you know, we don't need in the world we have to earn a paycheck, right? We have to have our source of income. So we may try to earn something from a boss. We may try to impress the committee. We may try to do whatever. But there's no need to impress Jesus. Instead, to press in to the love and the peace and the kindness and the patience that he offers to us. To press into this God who is, even at this moment, interceding for us. Wouldn't you thought Jesus had worked hard enough when he created the world? And wouldn't you thought he had worked hard enough when he died on the cross to achieve all that for us, and he even said, it is finished? Wouldn't you thought he had worked hard enough when he rose again from the dead and he sent out the church, go and make disciples of all nations? But no, he's not done working. He's not sitting around and, you know, matching PJs with all of the angels and just relaxing and watching endless seasons of whatever show on Netflix. Jesus, it says, is always interceding for us right now. Help her really hear how, if she'll just quiet her heart and not worry, that my peace really will come in. Help him really know that he doesn't have to search and try to make the answer. I am the answer. Help them to trust me in this new. And he intercedes for each one as we have need. Jesus is working and praying for us. Jesus is working and asking the Father to pour out love for us. And Jesus is helping us to be more than conquerors. Perhaps you had some challenges this year. And when you hit those challenges, you couldn't find a way under it, around it, over it, through it. It's still kind of sitting there. You don't know exactly what to do with it. Jesus might be the way to try. Because he's the one that says we're more than conquerors. Jesus, can you help me conquer whatever this thing is? My fear, my addiction, my need, my situation I can't seem to handle. Can you pour love in to help me love me through this? Help me endure this. Help me be stronger than this challenge in my life. That is the love he has for us. And I love the phrase there when it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know, another way to say that is you plus God equals a majority. And you're going to make it. You're going to be just fine. You and I plus God equals the body that he places here to show his love and his light to others who have need. And on this New Year's Eve, let us come in quietness, lay our burdens, our fears, our prayers, our needs before him. Let us leave strengthened, empowered, hopeful, and full of his love. May God make it so and be glorified as he does it. Amen. I want to invite you to join with me now.